I thank you, Father God, we'll leave better with more light on some things, Father God. And we thank you for it in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said,
amen.
Amen. Just real quick, for the light tonight, obviously, I mentioned a little bit last week, I think, and I suppose. But anyways, if you'd like, you can start donating candy for that already, because we're expecting to do a lot more than we did last year. Amen. Amen. And also, if you're wanting to sow towards that, you're able to. You can go online, obviously, to our deal, and there's a deal. You hit the drop-down where it says tithe and offering, hit the drop-down button, and there's one called outreach. So if you'd like to sow towards that, you are more than welcome to do that. Amen? Because we're doing a lot more bounce houses and stuff this year. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn over to Exodus 14, please. Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. Ushers, that's what they're called. Mike's going to hand out something. We're going to be talking about unbelief tonight. Amen. And I actually got this from Brother Keith Moore. Amen. Little checklist. It's a checklist, yes, ma'am. Exodus 14. We can start about verse 10. King James will be fine. The first thing I wrote down was unbelief limits God's activity in your life.
Amen.
Unbelief limits God's activity in your life. Amen. Let me have one too, please. I left mine in the office. Thank you. Exodus 14, about verse 10. We'll read that real fast. It says, go to verse 5. All right, it says, and I was told, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of the Pharaoh of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. I told y'all Exodus 14, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, just making sure. Verse 7, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pharaoh before Beel-zephon, however you say it. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel, what? Lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were what? And the children of Israel cried out and said, thank God you told us we're leaving this place, so we're going. What'd they say? Cried out to the Lord, right? If you got your paper, let's just read these real fast, all right? So at the top it says symptoms of unbelief. It's a checklist for believers, right? And then it says, are you moved by what you see? Fearful and panicky, speaking negatively, pessimistic and sarcastic, blaming others for your problems. Did everybody get one? One? All right. Blaming others for your problems, murmuring, complaining, griping about things, disrespectful, unthankful, looking back to the past with longing, impatient and putting pressure on others, amen, forgetting God's many benefits and faithfulness, argumentative and quarrelsome, defiant and rebellious, not listening not obeying instructions, despairing, sad, depressed. These are all symptoms of unbelief.
Amen.
Have you been feeling sorry for yourself and crying a lot? And then at the bottom in red, it says, if you're experiencing one or more of these symptoms, you are in unbelief. And that unbelief is robbing you of blessings. You should immediately administer large dosages of the Word of God now.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a good thing to keep around and to look at, because we're going to look at a few of them. We'll have time. Hallelujah. We'll have time. Thank you, Jesus. Unbelief is moved by what it sees, right? I think that was the first one I wrote down. Unbelief is moved more by what it sees than what God has said. Oh, I think this is the first one. Unbelief will be in fear, right? Unbelief will be in fear. They lifted up their eyes and were afraid, right? They were afraid. They were afraid because they saw him coming and they were like, this is it. We're about to die. Right? If you're in faith, then you're expecting good things to happen. If you're in fear, you're expecting bad things to happen. Pretty self-explanatory, right? It really is. If you're in faith, you're expecting good things to happen. If you're in fear, you're expecting bad things to happen. I don't know why. All this bad stuff always happens to me. What are you expecting? Well, you know, I'm expecting the blessing. Don't stand here and lie to me. Amen. Because what you're expecting is what you're receiving. Now, don't get me wrong. Satan will try to throw up a roadblock to see your reaction. To see if you will cave and go, oh, I can't believe this always happens to me. It could just be a little front to see your reaction.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look, we might be on this for a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, glory. If you're looking at your bank account and you know your rent or mortgage is due and you begin to fear,
come on,
right? And you're going, I don't know what we're going to do now. Man, I mean, look at these bills. Feel like they just keep adding up.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. If you look at the doctor's report or what's going on in your body and you begin to fear, you're in unbelief.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Then obviously, number one, we need to change what we're looking at. We need to change what we're looking at. If what I'm looking at is constantly trying to bring fear and what am I going to do now, then why don't I open the Word? Why don't I find, I would just open the Word of God and just start reading it, to be real honest with you. I really would. Start in Genesis. Start in Matthew. And that'll start building your spirit man on the inside of you. Because your spirit man needs food just like your natural body does. And your spirit man doesn't eat natural food.
No.
It eats spirit food.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And is our spirit man starved down?
Come on.
Amen. And I'll tell you another good way to tell is whenever you're going along and you're believing God for something and then something pops up and you just go, God, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. I was believing for healing, but the doctor said I have this and this. Doctor said I got to live with this the rest of my life. We need to change our focus from fear, and then I put in parentheses the problem, to the Word, and then I put in parentheses the answer.
Amen.
Amen. Faith remembers, and unbelief forgets. Faith remembers. Unbelief forgets. Pull back up verse 10, please. And when Pharaoh drew nigh the Egyptians, marched after them, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marching after them, and they were what? Do they not remember everything that just happened to the Egyptians on their behalf? So you already forgot what just happened to the Egyptians for on your behalf? Not only that, Exodus 12. Pull that up, please. Ooh, we got the living. Pull 12:35, living. And the people of Israel did as Moses said and asked the Egyptians for what? And for clothing. If I was you, I would mark this down. I would write living beside these scriptures. It's the living, the parentheses are TLB. Verse 36, please. And the Lord gave the Israelites what? With the Egyptians. So that they gave them. And the Egyptians were what? Everything they owned. And now we're at the river. God just miraculously had them give me everything they own. God just miraculously got me out of slavery. And we're leaving free and overflowing. Rich, wealthy. We get to the river. Oh, no. How are we going to get across this, number one? Oh, here comes the Egyptians. We're about to die. Faith remembers. Unbelief forgets. Faith remembers what God's done for you in the past. Faith remembers. You know what? Just like David, he said, you know what? A lion came after the sheep. A bear came after the sheep. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The reason he said uncircumcised Philistine, who is this guy without a covenant with my God? Without a covenant. He said, and he's going to be just like them. Just like the lion and the bear. Faith remembers. Unbelief forgets. And obviously, unbelief forgets quickly. Amen. Then I wrote down number two. You can go back to Exodus 14 there. Unbelief complains. Unbelief complains. Go over to Exodus 16, please. You can pull it up in the King James, it's fine. Exodus 16, about verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, what? In the wilderness. Next, please. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of what?
Egypt.
When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Oh, man. So you're telling me that God miraculously got you out of slavery, gave you abundance like you've never had ever in your life. You've never had abundance like this. Ever. And now you're looking back to slavery saying that was a better time than we're having now. Complaining about it. I know we were slaves, but at least we had food there. Yeah. And God is feeding you supernaturally every day.
Amen.
And then over in Numbers, you'll read it. In the Message, I like how it says it. It says that quail flew in waist deep.
That's right.
And how many people was this?
Millions.
Millions of people. And so it wasn't just waist deep on this guy. How far out will it spread for 10 million people? And yet they're still saying, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. And I thought God told them to get enough for them every single morning. Get enough for you to eat so you're full.
Yes.
And when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to what? To kill this whole assembly with hunger. I thought God was feeding you daily. And so now you're having a pity party because you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're complaining. Look what y'all did. You brought me out here to die of hunger now. I'd much rather go be a slave again. So you're telling me you're not, there's no food? So you're telling me that y'all have not ate then? Because that's how you die of hunger, is by not eating. And so you might have missed a little bit of food, or you might have had just a little bit of a hunger pain and you gave into it immediately. You just crumbled right there. Oh, this is too much now. This is too hard. I know I said I was believing for this, but what's the point now? This is just too much. Too many people's talking about me. Amen. We'll get off of that. Amen. Next verse, please. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Right?
Amen.
Amen. So they just complained, and every time they would complain, God would help them out until he got fed up with them.
Amen.
Amen. Then I wrote down, unbelief blames others for their problems. Go back to Exodus 14, please. Pull up the, we have the living. Yeah, we just did that a while ago, didn't we? Good call. About verse 11, chapter 14, 11. And they turned against Moses, what? I thought you said you heard God tell us to sow this seed. I thought you said you heard God. Marriage couples need to be not ignorant of that. Yeah. Need to pay attention to that.
Yes.
And not get to a place like that. Well, I thought you said God. Well, I thought you said God said to do this. And then we get to blaming each other because a little bit of hard times might have came up or something.
Right.
Well, suppose he did, but your faith isn't up to the spot.
Yes. Yeah.
But your spouse's is.
Yes.
And so now they're having to battle Satan and you with your unbelief.
Yeah.
All right, we won't talk about that anymore. And they turned, hallelujah, amen. And they turned against Moses, what?
Whining.
Have you brought us out here to die in the desert because there were not enough graves for us in Egypt? Why? This was the very interesting part to me. Why did you what? Did he make them leave? Was it their choice to leave? You keep whining about why can't we go back to Egypt? You made us come out here. Number one, you got overflow and you was like, hallelujah, let's go. And now you hit a little bit of a hard spot and you're like, why did you have us come out here? Why'd you make me come? I thought you said God said to sow this seed. Why do we have this lack? Look at our bank account and you're wanting to do that? What do you mean we need some more tires? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And they turned against Moses whining. Have you brought us out here to die in the desert because there were not enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Did he make them leave Egypt, or was it their choice? So why do they think they have the right to blame him? Amen. Whenever you're believing God for things, you're going to hit a hard spot probably. Number one, Satan doesn't want you to receive anything that you're believing God for. He hates all, just human. Mankind, he hates mankind, period, right? Because number one, we were created in the image of God. Hallelujah. And he got cast down, and so now he's just hateful and resentful, right? But regardless, he can't stop us. Regardless, he can't stop what you believe in God for. He cannot stop you. I should have heard a way better amen than that. I'm not going to say that. He might come after me. Satan cannot stop you. He cannot. Not because you're somebody, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan can't stop me because of the authority Jesus left with me, that he gave me when he left. And you, right? So why do they think they had the right to blame Moses for this? Just a little bit of a hard time comes up and they're like, oh, so there wasn't enough places for us, enough graves for us in Egypt to die, so you brought us out here to die, made us come out here? Because they hit just a little bit of a hard spot maybe? How many times have we done that when we're believing God for something? You know, spouses sometimes get together believing God for something. Look, are you believing God for this with me or what? Then why ain't it showing up? And so now we're asking our spouse, are you not in faith? Are you not reading these scriptures we're standing on? Because it's not showing up and I know I'm in faith. That'll preach right there. And so now we're not, now we allowed unbelief to come in, and our spouse is probably in faith the whole time, but we, by starting a blame shift and look at them, just allowed unbelief in to hinder what we're believing God for now, not even realizing what Satan's doing. And now he's using me to attack my spouse, cause division, and cause whatever we're believing God for not to come into fruition, because I'm in unbelief. Because now my focus went from faith to believing God, thanking God for it, to why are you even believing God? Do you not remember what scriptures we were standing on? And then, you know, we get to asking them, well, are you quoting these scriptures every day? Amen. So we'll get off that. All right. But, amen. Are we doing that? These are things we got to ask ourselves. We do. Because if Satan can continually hinder us, then he can continually stop us. That's the thing. Amen. Go to the next verse, please. Isn't this what we told you while we were slaves to leave us?
Come on.
We said it would be better to be slaves to the Egyptians than dead in this wilderness. The King James says in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Guess where they died? See, blame shifting and unbelief got them to believing that they were going to die in the wilderness until they died in the wilderness. Yes. But yet the land flowing with milk and honey that God said, this is yours, go get it. And you just saw his miraculous power get you out from underneath the thumb of the Egyptians into overflow when you had nothing. You were slaves with nothing. Hardly even any clothes on. Scars probably all over your back. Possibly face. Because whenever they're throwing these whips, do you really think they care what they're hitting on you? Because they weren't slaves like, hey, go build us some bricks, please, if you don't mind. They were slaves. But yet they thought it was better to be slaves than to go out and receive what God had for them. Because of one or a couple little spots where it looked like it was impossible, maybe. What happened was their faith got put to the test and their faith crumbled. They allowed their faith to fall. Because they start blame shifting. They'd start blaming Moses. I can't believe you brought us out here to die. Why'd you make us leave? And none of that was so, right? Because it was their choice. They could have stayed there if they wanted to. Because God wasn't like, y'all have to leave. Leave now. They still had the choice. They could have stayed if they wanted. But after they seen what all they were getting, I guarantee they were like, oh, yeah, let's go get some then. See, we're all about it with the overflow, but then hardship comes up. God, hey, God, well, I thought you gave this stuff to me. I thought it belonged to me. Pull up the NIV, please. Verse 11 and 12 again. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? What do you mean, what have you done to us? What do you really mean? Because God's given you a land of overflow. What do you mean, what have you done to us? Amen. You're talking like you're going to a worser place. Next, please. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert. Amen. A lot of times it's just because people And I'm not talking about any of us. Amen. But sometimes it's because people get lazy. They don't want to get in the Word and build their faith. They want God to just drop it on them. It was like that song we were singing at the end. Say it real fast. The slave to fear. I'm a child of God. See, so that gives you the thought that once you're saved, fear has to leave. It does, but will it? What do you have to do? See, resist fear, and it'll flee from you. But sometimes the songs will throw you off and just make you think, well, once I'm saved, fear can't be here now. And so it gives people false thoughts about it, and they don't realize. They're like, well, God, I'm saved. You know, and the song says, once I'm saved, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah, but the Word of God said, resist fear, resist the devil, resist it, and it'll what? Flee from you. Right?
Amen.
Where are we at here? Wow. Let me read some of this, then we'll see where we're going. They were blaming Moses, saying, if you would have left us alone, we would have been all right. But no, you had to come free us. Right? Did Moses make them leave? No, they could have stayed if they wanted, right? Everything's going good when everybody's shouting. But as soon as a little bit of adversity shows up, blame shifting comes out fast.
Amen.
You can really see it in a marriage.
Amen.
Because the spouses want to know what the other spouses is doing. Well, are you believing God? Because I thought we were in faith on this. I thought we were believing God for whatever. Blame shifting wants to come out real fast. But that's just unbelief, and you're blaming your spouse. If you're blame Satan. Tell him to take his hands off what belongs to you. And tell your angels, Hebrews 1:14, ministering spirits, to go and cause it to come. Right? Amen. But as husband and wife, that's two people. And, you know, Matthew 18:19, if two of you agree on earth is touching anything, right? See, Satan, and not only that, Satan wants to break that up. And if he can get y'all to pointing at each other, blaming each other, saying, well, you're the problem. Well, you're not believing like I'm believing. Well, you're not reading the scripture every day like I'm reading the scripture.
Amen.
So now there's just what? Division. Division, strife. And when there's strife, there's what? It doesn't say there's one evil work. It doesn't say two evil works. It says every evil work. Every evil work. And so you think anything's going to happen then?
No.
Not until we deal with blame shifting, with the strife that's going on. So once y'all stand on something, once y'all agree on something, say, you know what? This is what we're believing God for. Y'all get the scripture you're standing on, because we need a foundation. Get the scripture you're standing on. And if it takes a month, it takes a month. If it takes 2 months, it takes 2 months. If it takes a year, it takes a year. You know, too many times I've heard ministers talk about, you know, what took me 10, it, like I was listening to one the other day, he was talking about it took him 10 years to believe for his first aircraft. But after that, it only took him 1 year to believe for the next one. See, it took him a little bit at first, but once he got through and got it, it started coming quicker now. So it might take you a minute at first. What else you gonna do? What else are you gonna do? We've allowed the world to with everything so fast, fast food, phone, Google, quick, everything now. So we think once we speak the command of faith, we have to have it now. And faith does have it now. But if people don't see it now.
Amen.
Blame shifting. Oh, I wrote this. Blame shifting started with fruit. When God asked Adam, "Did you eat it?" What did he say? Didn't say nothing about, "Yeah, I ate it." He said, and then God asked her, and what'd she say? Amen. Excuse me. What about we'll leave that one alone. Unbelief looks back where faith is always looking forward. Right? Amen. Faith is always looking forward. Amen. I think we'll stop there because if we get started in this next one, we'll be a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did y'all get anything out of that?
Amen.
And me both. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light, Father God, from the word. So that we're able to correct the things that we've been handling wrongly. That we haven't been handling with wise, Father God. And I thank you for light on it. I thank you, Father God. So now that the marriages or even friendships will become stronger and they won't start going, "Well, are you believing?" They'll just say, "Thank God, this is what we're standing in agreement on and we'll continue to stand." We won't look at each other and start saying, "Well, are you believing God? Well, are you believing God?" Because that'll create strife. And Father God, we understand where there's strife, there's every evil work, and we won't allow that in our house.
That's right.
Amen. So now we won't be blindsided by Satan trying to come in all sneaky like that, allowing us to get into unbelief because we're blame shifting or blaming our spouses or our friends. Well, are you in faith? Are you on the word? But I thank you, Father God, we're able to correct it and to move forward now. And so we thank you for it. Give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said.
Amen.